I don't want to change sides and just be told what to do. There's no reason to change if I do that.
You're wise already.
Montag felt his feet moving him on the sidewalk toward his house. Keep talking.
Would you like me to read? I'll read so you can remember. I go to bed only 5 hours a night, nothing to do. So, if you like, I'll read you to sleep nights. They say you retain knowledge even when you're sleeping if someone whispers it in your ear.
Yes.
Here.
Far away across town in the night, the faintest whisper of a turned page.
The Book of Job.
The moon rose in the sky as Montag walked, his lips moving just a trifle. He was eating a light supper at 9 in the evening when the front door cried out in the hall and Mildred ran from the parlor like a native fleeing an eruption of Vesuvius. Mrs. Phelps and Mrs. Bowles came through the front door and vanished into the volcano's mouth with martinis in their hands. Montag stopped eating. They were like a monstrous crystal chandelier tinkling in 1,000 chimes. He saw their Cheshire Cat smiles burning through the walls of the house, and now they were screaming at each other above the din. Montag found himself at the parlor door with his food still in his mouth.
Doesn't everyone look nice?
Nice.
You look fine, Millie.
Fine.
Everyone looks swell.
Swell.
Montag stood watching them.
Patience, whispered Faber.
I shouldn't be here, whispered Montag almost to himself. I should be on my way back to you with the money.
Tomorrow's time enough. Careful.
Isn't this show wonderful?
Cried Mildred.
Wonderful.
On one wall, a woman smiled and drank orange juice simultaneously. How does she do both at once, thought Montag, insanely. In the other walls, an X-ray of the same woman revealed the contracting journey of the refreshing beverage on its way to her delighted stomach. Abruptly, the room took off on a rocket flight into the clouds. It plunged into a lime-green sea where blue fish ate red and yellow fish. A minute later, 3 white cartoon clowns chopped off each other's limbs to the accompaniment of immense incoming tides of laughter. 2 minutes more, and the room whipped out of town to the jet cars, wildly circling an arena, bashing and backing up and bashing each other again. Montag saw a number of bodies fly in the air.
Millie, did you see that?
I saw it. I saw it.
Montag reached inside the parlor wall and pulled the main switch. The images drained away, as if the water had been let from a gigantic crystal bowl of hysterical fish. The 3 women turned slowly and looked with unconcealed irritation and then dislike at Montag.
When do you suppose the war will start? He said. I notice your husbands aren't here tonight.
Oh, they come and go, said Mrs. Phelps. In again, out again, Finnegan. The army called Pete yesterday. He'll be back next week. The army said so. Quick war. 48 hours, they said, and everyone home. That's what the army said. Quick war. Pete was called yesterday, and they said he'd be back next week. Quick.
The 3 women fidgeted and looked nervously at the empty, mud-colored walls.
I'm not worried, said Mrs. Phelps. I'll let Pete do all the worrying. She giggled. I'll let Pete do all the worrying. Not me. I'm not worried.
It's always someone else's husband dies, they say.
I've heard that, too. I've never known any dead man killed in a war. Killed jumping off buildings, yes, like Gloria's husband last week, but from wars, no.
Not from wars, said Mrs. Phelps.
Anyway, Pete and I always said, no tears, nothing like that. It's our 3rd marriage each, and we're independent. Be independent, we always said. He said, if I get killed off, you just go right ahead and don't cry, but get married again and don't think of me.
That reminds me, said Mildred. Did you see that Clara Dove 5-minute romance last night in your wall? Well, it was all about this woman who...
Montag said nothing, but stood looking at the women's faces, as he had once looked at the face of saints in a strange church he had entered when he was a child. The faces of those enameled creatures meant nothing to him, though he talked to them and stood in that church for a long time, trying to be of that religion, trying to know what that religion was, trying to get enough of the raw incense and special dust of the place into his lungs and thus into his blood to feel touched and concerned by the meaning of the colorful men and women with the porcelain eyes and the blood ruby lips. But there was nothing, nothing. It was a stroll through another store, and his currency strange and unusable there, and his passion cold,
even when he touched the wood and plaster and clay. So it was now, in his own parlor, with these women twisting in their chairs under his gaze, lighting cigarettes, blowing smoke, touching their sun-fired hair and examining their blazing fingernails as if they had caught fire from his look. Their faces grew haunted with silence. They leaned forward at the sound of Montag swallowing his final bite of food. They listened to his feverish breathing. The three empty walls of the room were like the pale brows of sleeping giants now, empty of dreams. Montag felt that if you touched these three staring brows, you would feel a fine salt sweat on your fingertips. The perspiration gathered with the silence and the subaudible trembling around and about and in the women who were burning with tension. Any moment they might hiss, a long, sputtering hiss, and explode. Montag moved his lips. "Let's talk." The women jerked and stared.